Yeah. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you're feeling them players, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown. Mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones. Letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Anti-Media Radio. Happy Friday. It is February 7th, 2014. I'm very excited. It's going to be an awesome program for you guys. Serendipity happened a lot the last couple days. A lot of stuff's going on. Most importantly, I'm joined here with my good friend Jeffrey. He happens to be my neighbor in the shopping center where I work. We see each other a lot, right? We interact energetically. We share words, but we didn't realize we were warriors on the same mission. And take a moment to introduce yourself, Jeffrey. Tell people about your passions and what you like to do. Go for it.
Hi, my name is Jeff Greenstein. I'm in San Diego. My passions, I like to read. I work for Goodwill. I work in their bookstore here in Del Cerro. And I collect coins. And one of my biggest passions is I'm a mental health person who is an advocate for people who are mentally ill and the treatment of those people that are mentally ill. That, to me, is a big passion, since I also suffer with depression. So those are the things that really drive me at the moment.
I'm so glad that you're here to talk about this with me, because I spend a lot of time on the show discussing being in the moment and being aware of your state of mind, because I think that the society we live in is driven to make you unfocused. We're constantly bombarded with information. I look at the toys that are available to my children. I look at the programming. I look at the manner in which schooling is developed. It's constantly driving your attention away from one thing. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
That's what I mean. Even the way we're advertised to, in every aspect, we're bombarded, correct?
Yes.
And I think that creates anxiety in people. And I think that creates this thought pattern, and we think it's a normal, it's just, we kind of take it on, right? I'm not trying to say that such a thing doesn't exist and that it's not merited and people don't suffer, because I know they do. But I think that there's a cause for, you know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out, what is the cause?
The cause is stress and trauma.
Exactly.
And we all have trauma in our lives, and we all deal with trauma in different ways. And not all trauma is the same, and not all people deal with trauma the same. You might deal with it differently than I deal with it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think that's a big cause. And it can be a multiple type trauma, or it can be one single trauma, like a loss of a parent or a loss of a loved one, or a major car accident where there's damage done, or they might have a traumatic brain injury.
Right.
Or a trauma where they're attacked or they're by a dog or a person, and they never get over that. And that in society alone, let alone all the exterior things that might happen and the interior things
interior,
that could happen.
Right. And what do you do with that, right? I think the internal aspect is probably the most important.
I think you have to, when that happens, get help. But a lot of times people say, I'm okay. I'll deal with it in my own way. And, you know, that's not a bad idea, but it's not a good one either.
It's not the healthiest.
I found you can't do things alone. You have to go to people.
Yeah.
And you have to say, this is what's wrong. I need help. It took me 6 months to admit that I was depressed and that I needed medication. Mm. And in that 6 months, I spiraled downward and downward. And finally, one day, my dad's passed now. He passed in 2010, but he used to grab me by the shoulders every day and used to say to me, is this the quality of life you want for yourself? And I always used to say, yeah, and he would let me go. And then once the way he looked at me and the way he grabbed my shoulders, it wasn't a regular grab. He grabbed me around the top part of the shoulders and looked right into my eyes. I knew what was coming. And he said to me, Jeffrey, look at me very carefully. Look at me. And I remember that movie, Look at Me, you know? And that's the way it was. And he looked at me and he said, is this the quality of life that you want now for the rest of your life? Think about it for a minute. And I did, and I said, no. And I think we both relieved, you know, the breath came out, and my father said, come on, let's get to work and get you help so you can be okay. And not everyone, by the way, makes it.
Right.
Be okay.
You have to have somebody that you can reach out to. believe it or not, Miss Positive Pants LaVon, I was depressed at one point in my life. And like you, I didn't realize. You know, I became so disconnected from everything that I thought I was. And for me, it was my grandma passed away. And she was my rock, like my everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we talked about fear earlier. And even as a tiny little child, I was afraid to lose her. That was something that I would think about when I was 2 and 3 is, what am I going to do when I don't have my grandma? I would ponder this and I would fret. It would bother me, you know? And then it finally happened, and I didn't know what to do.
When we grow up, there's no manual in life. I wish there was a manual for life, but there isn't. We're not taught as children that when people get old, they die.
I taught my children that.
Well, you're very rare. I don't know of anyone with
I think it's a healthy thing.
They have to know.
It's going to happen. You've got to prepare people for this type of thing.
When my mother passed.
Guinea pig just died on Christmas.
Oh, my God.
My son was cool, though. He's like, it's okay. She moved on. I'm okay with that. He's like, I enjoyed her when she was here. I miss her. But it's okay. And I was like, holy crap. That's beautiful.
I would have been at his age when
I right?
do that.
I used to cry over my fish leaving.
Yes.
I would
goldfish
like,
would die
right?
And
I would have to have a ceremony. I mean, I had so many guinea pigs. Bless you, Dad. I love you for burying all of our gerbils in the backyard because it was I had to have it that way.
When my mother died, I wasn't prepared. We knew she was ill, and I went to bed, and I said to my dad, if anything happens in the middle of the night, wake me up. And my father came up, and he said, Mom passed. And I went, no.
Right.
And he went, yeah,
you don't believe it.
I didn't believe it.
I didn't believe it for a very long time.
I had to go down and look at the body.
No, she died in front of me. And not only that wasn't traumatic. That was kind of beautiful to watch her literally transfer somewhere. You know what I mean? It was different.
When Dad died, he died in my arms and my sister's arms. And I looked around the room looking for a white light or looking for something to come from the body to move on.
Right.
And the light, the room was so bright, I didn't see anything. But
you can feel it, though. I felt it.
You can
feel
it.
It was different. It was different.
Yeah, he was different when he was passing.
And for me, that part was, that offered me comfort because I was there. We were all there for her. You know what I mean? She was surrounded by love, and she went in love, and that's how I think it was just very healing.
Go find mom. That's what I said. Go find mom. Mm-hmm. And that's what my sister said too. Dad, go find mom. It's okay. You can go.
That's part of it too. It's kind of beautiful. Like, I think we have control over that. My nana, my grandma, a year before she died, she died on her birthday, which was 11 days before I turned 18. Okay, so it was kind of like, for me. She told me when I was 16, honey, I'm not going to live past my next birthday. And because of this fear, I cried. You know, we're on the phone. I said, please don't talk that way. I don't want to hear it. Mm. I don't want to know. And then I changed the subject. She kept trying to tell me and prepare me. Because she knew she was done. You know, she had died like 5 times. Her heart stopped and she couldn't fight anymore.
Wow.
But on the same token, you know, it took me to this very, very dark place. And talk about that for a moment. What happens when you get to such a level, you know, like in your opinion, you know, we talked slightly about how you have to go up, right?
Yeah. What happens is if you experience an illness like depression or we can say bipolar 2 or schizophrenia, but with a depression, what happens is it hits you really fast, like it catches you with your pants down because you're not prepared for it. You don't know anything about it. You don't know why it happened. You don't know how it happened. It just did.
Right.
And for me, it was my mom, my dad, my wife, who went through, was not around, but went through cancer, Hodgkin's, and all the trauma from that, just going with her. And my mom's passing and my dad's just passing. It was just so built up. It's like a pressure cooker. It goes off. And you're at a really high level functioning, but when the illness hits you, you go into the toilet and you go way, way down. Your functioning level goes way down. And you really have to accept the level of functioning that you're at. And you fight from there to get back up to the same level that you were at before the illness hit. Some people never make it. Some people do. I'm fighting, and I think I'm almost there. Is it godly? I think it may be. I don't know, but I think it may be because not many people come out of it, and they stay very ill for a long time. And I'm one of the fortunate ones that have gone past that point and is coming back.
That's very awesome. I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, thank you.
And we talked about synchronicity earlier, and, you know, there are no accidents. I'm glad you're here talking with me about this. I think it's a pressing issue, and I'm glad to be able to share my positive experience.
I'm honored that you have.
I'm glad that I have one to share with you. It took me a long time to realize that I was feeling this way. You know, I became... You know me, I'm very social. I can talk to everyone. I do talk to everyone.
You do.
Everybody knows me. I completely cut off my friends, and I would just stay in my room.
Well, you kind of become inward.
You do.
You do. You move inward.
But that's kind of the almost awesome part, because then you start to analyze, and you kind of go a little crazy. I think there's a fine line between genius and
And I'm not too sure about genius.
But insanity, I mean, there's a fine line.
Very fine.
So I kind of dance between the two of those, but this self-reflection, you know, what am I, how did I get here?
Everybody asks that question, you know? And no one knows the right answer. I mean, we all look for that right answer, but you have to be a really pretentious consumer. At first you're not, but then as you've been in that illness, you kind of strive to get information because you just can't go into a doctor and talk to them and then they say 40 minutes later, your time is up. Keep taking the medication. I'll see you.
Exactly. And I'm glad you're giving me that perfect segue finally I reached out to my auntie and I said, Auntie, I'm not myself and I need your help. So she said, okay, call your doctor. I had, you know, insurance. I lived with my parents. Thank you, Dad. And this is thank you, Dad night. And so I make an appointment with this doctor, right? And my aunt comes with me because my parents both work and she offers to be my support slash transportation. You know, we're going to get through this. And I talk to this lady and I tell her how I'm feeling. And she's like, huh. Like, I stumped her. Apparently, my perception of depression was intriguing to her, you know? And I told her, I'm not going to take your drugs. And she's like, I really want you to. Just try it for a little while. So after a little debate, because even then, even as a 17-year-old, I was writing papers about the epidemic, which is obesity and how the fast food industry and, you know what I mean? I was a little rebel. I was always on world causes. I've always had the same drive. And I was like, you're not putting that poison in me. I'm sorry. It's not for me. And not that it's not for everyone. I just didn't want it for myself. But I tried reluctantly. I took these drugs, something called Boost Bar, which I don't know anything about. All I know is that
it's mood altering.
I literally would try and have a thought and I felt like a wall would come up.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like I had cognitive control. That, to an intellect risen, I cut it out. I stopped taking those pills.
I understand.
However, I went back to my doctor with the still the same desire to get better, but a different approach. And I learned, and I learned so much about myself in the process. Something called cognitive restructuring.
Yes, I've done it.
Which is the healthiest thing I've ever done. And kind of set off my path to wellness.
Now, I just want everyone out there to know, I've taken over 30 different antidepressants. And the reason being is some work, and you're really happy, and then they stop working. And no one knows why that happens, but it does. So I'm taking now Cymbalta, which is, I think it's 60 milligrams a day.
And do you realize, really quick, that we're broadcasting from my office tonight. This is a alternative healing center where we don't promote the use of medication.
No.
But I'm so glad that you're here to share with me your experience with it. So
Cymbalta for me works. Now, anyone out there, if you're taking medication and you're listening, don't stop taking it.
No, please don't.
Please. Go to your doctor.
Exactly.
And say to them, look, this isn't for me. I don't like this. There are other alternatives out there that you can use instead of antidepressants. But I'm taking an antidepressant, and for me, I'll probably end up for the rest of my life doing it unless I try some type of alternative to get off the medication. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not good for you. Okay.
And neither am I.
No,
just didn't work for it. Didn't work for me.
Some people it works for, other people it does not. Okay. There's no harm in taking it. Don't worry about if people say, "Oh, you're on antidepressants," and I get that all the time. Listen, there's enough of a stigma with being depressed or being ill that in society today that you don't have to worry about that you're taking antidepressants. You're doing the best you can. You're out there.
You're following the advice of your doctor,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You want to get better.
Yes, and I think I have.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And what is your opinion on the typical treatment of people with mental illness? Let's go into that.
First of all, I'm not happy with the mental health system at all.
You've experienced it.
Yes, it's broken. It needs to be completely redone. There are people out there who know more today than the people that are working in the field. And I know a lot of the people who are working in the field are listening, and I apologize to you, but I must say it's broken. It needs restructuring. It needs new blood. We need people who understand us. We need police officers that understand people that are on the streets or are medicated and sometimes act out, and they're not dangerous. 99.6% of the population of people who are mentally ill are not dangerous. Only 4% of people who are mentally ill are dangerous. And I can tell you, it's mostly people who, and please don't call me and tell me I'm a mean person or
a
bad person.
That reminds me, you can call in.
It's bipolar, non-treatable, non-medicated, and schizophrenic, non-medicated and not treated. And depressive people that do not have medication and are not being treated. Those are people that may be dangerous, but only 4% get in trouble. Okay? And the media also portrays everyone as mentally ill who does, anything.
It does.
I know. And that bothers me because there's no proof that they are or they were. And everyone is mentally ill.
Can I tell you, Honey, that I talk about this a lot. This is something dear to my heart. Words. You and I love words, right?
Yes.
You are surrounded and engulfed in words. We both utilize words to communicate. And synonyms, I think, get us in trouble. Because I think a lot of the times people are talking about the same thing. All, you know, generally, we're all talking about the same thing, and we're using different words. There are all these different, quote-unquote, illnesses.
Yes.
What if they're personality traits? Right? There's something wrapped your mind around.
They're not illnesses.
It's the wrong word.
It's the wrong word. Look, you have people out there that need help, that can't get help, that want help, and are running into a wall, okay?
There's definitely a problem with the system.
Most definitely. It's completely trashed and broken. And mm-hmm. I don't have the answers. I wish I did, mm-hmm. folks. I really do.
Well, I think, you know, I'm a ponderer. Follow me if you will, or refute me if you can. I think we just need to spend more time helping people realize that they're not just this bag of tissue walking around supported by bones. Here to make money and buy stuff and things.
I don't like the doctors who say...
But I'm just saying, on a human level, okay. What are we all doing? We're consuming,
and
right?
And we're trying to survive and do the best we possibly can
right.
every day.
And there's so many of us who, I think, underutilize our abilities. I imagine in a place where there is a community and we all look out for one another. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing if
when I was younger,
we had
that
more,
was so.
Right.
But now that I'm older,
it's different, right?
It's different. There's no more looking out for your neighbor. There's no more taking care of someone. You know, it's really interesting. I have a gentleman who I know, and he's homeless now, but he's from New York, and he's here, and he lives on the streets.
That kills me every day when I
and
see these homeless people.
I love
people.
This man. And yeah. I've become very good friends with him. And by the way, homeless people are really nice.
Can
people.
I tell you that as youth, my cousins and I, we befriended homeless people. And they're still our friends to this day. We take them things. We take them out, hang out, you know, bring them to our home for Christmas.
I feed my friend. And
it's just, it's sad, right?
Yeah, if you can touch the soul of a human being, you walk on holy ground. And it doesn't hurt to just go up to someone and say, hello, how you doing? You doing okay? You know, your one word of kindness might change that whole individual's day, week, month, year.
Yeah.
Just that they know that someone cares about them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take them to dinner. You don't have to hug them. But mm-hmm. why don't you just go up and wherever they are
them.
And acknowledge
yeah.
them? Say hello.
That's
say
why.
It to your
that's
neighbor.
Why I talk to everybody. I try and share whatever. Goodness.
You have made me feel spectacular when you talk.
Oh my gosh! Don't make me blush.
it's true, though. I mean,
it's energy.
You don't want anything in return either, which is the greatest feeling in the world to know that you may have helped someone through the day. To help someone and not get anything in return is the greatest gift you can have.
I agree.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I shared with you earlier that that's been my newest lesson, right, is
yeah.
letting go of fear. I've been letting go of what I'm afraid of and exposing it to myself, and it's helped me to better connect to people. I feel like I've lost some, like, emotional weight. You know what I mean?
I'm still struggling with fear. And I'm still struggling with
it's
that.
It's very, very, it's, you know, we talked about the inward looking earlier.
Yeah.
It's a whole other level, man. Telling you the things that have surfaced for me, it's been profound. It has been profound, but it's kind of exhausting. The things that go on in this brain, I tell you. But please continue. You mentioned earlier, it's like when depression hits you, it's like getting caught with your pants down.
Yeah,
can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster ride, really. It's a lot of ups and downs, and you face unprecedented challenges. It's like being alone in a raft during a storm in the ocean. You're left alone, and you go up, and you go down, and there's you don't know what's real. You don't know what's true. You are always questioning yourself. You can't make decisions. It's like rust that's on steel. It's always there, but it breaks eventually. You know, you're alone. You need someone to make decisions for you that you can trust and love. You need someone that's there for you all the time to help you get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to find someone that you can really trust, and the only one really is family. But sometimes family runs amok too. They run away from you because
They're afraid, maybe.
Well, they're afraid because they're thinking if you are ill, maybe they're going to get ill. And they may end up like that. And they don't want anything to do with it because they don't understand. But if I come over and hug you, you're not going to become depressed.
I hope not.
No, but a lot of people figure it's a virus and they're going to get it. I get that question a lot when I lecture.
Well, on an energetic level, I can understand because I've been in that situation. I have a distant family member that I used to question whether or not I wanted to visit because I knew of her energy and I knew that I would feel it regardless if it's contagious or not on an animalistic level. You tell me that you feel great when I'm around.
Yeah.
We're having an energetic exchange, correct?
Yes.
It's the same way when you don't feel good. You hope to attract the people to boost you.
I agree.
That's what I think the goal would be, is you become like the ones you spend your time with or the people you admire, you know?
I think you seek out people who you feel comfortable with and they feel comfortable with you and they understand that you're ill and they understand that you need help and they'll help you anyway.
That's
they
a
can.
Different phase, right?
Yeah,
On the path to wellness
supposedly,
right.
Yeah. But you do seek out people that you feel comfortable with and you can talk with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. You just stay inside and you lock your doors and
you get
up, survive, and go back to bed. That's a major mantra with people who are ill. You know, there are people out there in homes and they live with their parents and they're not being treated and they don't have any way to get treatment and they don't want treatment. But sooner or later they say, help.
There's gotta be a better way to address it. You know, and I think that we talked about this earlier about the manner in which just the way we raise men in our society, they have a lot of different pressures on them, right?
Well, they're the breadwinners sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the stigmas that exist in our society, right? I mean, what year is this? Okay, let me check. It's 2014.
Yes.
2014. You can kind of marry who you want. You can kind of have sex with who you want. It's kind of okay to cry. It's kind of okay to be black. It's kind of okay to be a Latina woman. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many stigmas. It's weird if your husband stays home and you work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's certain expectations. People are categorized a lot. Can I tell you? I talked to you about this yesterday. I took a leap of faith yesterday, guys. I told you there's a lot going on. I applied to be a canvasser in my community and work towards fighting GMOs on a community level. And I was so excited. I had a meeting with the doctor before. So I'm here at the office, and I happen to see Jeffrey. So I go in to talk to him, and I'm a little irritated slash excited, okay? Because here I am, you know, I'm not trying to look too fancy. I love purple. I was wearing a beautiful purple shirt and a necklace that I paid like $1.50 for, but apparently made me look quote-unquote rich. So I'm sitting at the table, and I'm eating my muffin, and that sounds bad. Anyways, I mean, I'm eating a muffin, and this guy walks by, and he's like, oh, good morning. And I'm like, oh, good morning, Luis. I know his name because he delivers the paper. So I say good morning to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love this job, but I only have it for 3 days a week. I would like to have it full time so I could be rich like you. And I went, what? Excuse me. First of all, thank you for judging me based on my appearance. Second of all, if you mean rich by the amount of love in my heart or the knowledge in my mind, you are correct, sir. But when it comes to monetary value, you are so wrong, and how dare you judge me? And he just kind of looked at me like, oh, what did I do? And then he tried to, like, justify it, you know? And I'm like, sir, you can't fix this. Just please take away from this moment the fact that you are blindly judging me. You know nothing of me. You know what I mean? I didn't go into details about how unrich I am when it comes to money, but I think that we shared a very powerful interaction.
You know what it is? We all judge, and we shouldn't, but we all do. Judgments are statements that we make.
Mostly about yourself, though.
Yes, but sometimes you make them about other people. And I was taught a long time ago that when you make a statement, you're judging someone. So every statement you make, you judge. And we're not supposed to, but unconsciously we all do.
I think it's revealing about how you feel about yourself.
Well, you know, people judge overweight people. They judge underweight people.
True.
They judge the way people dress. It's a very mean society.
It's weird,
very
isn't it?
Weird spirited. And I don't understand
our
that.
Our children are harassing each other about colors of clothes or brand of shoes, you
and
know.
I got that in high school
I
too,
did
and
too.
I didn't understand
I did
it.
Too. And I come from a family that's thrifty and creative, and we shopped at consignment stores, and I loved it. You know what I mean? I had the coolest clothes, and people were always like, oh, where'd you get that? I'm like, the thrift store? And then they go, what? You know what I mean? It's just, they judge me, but I had a plethora of things because I was very crafty. I'm still that way. I can't justify paying $45 for something that I could get for $7. You know? I just can't do it.
My mom and dad raised 3 kids. They did a great job. I mean, I was very fortunate to have the parents I had, and they bought stuff for us. And I remember my mom's big purchase one day was Converse sneakers for me.
Those are cool.
And I went through them like there was no tomorrow. I mean, those were my favorite pair.
Mm-hmm.
It would get down to where you could see my feet in them. And my mother would say, we need another pair. And, you know, they worked real hard with 3 kids. And I took it for granted. I said, okay, Mom. And she would go out and buy me another pair. You know, and today, being on my own and looking at what I wear the same shoes all the time. You know, being in a warehouse and working around books and stuff, I wear boots. But, you know, I take for granted what I had, and now I don't practice what my mother did with me. You know, I go to a discount shoe store to buy like 2 pair for the price of 1, and I'm happy as a pig in doo-doo, you know? and to me, that's the greatest thing in the world, is what I thought was important when I was younger isn't important now in life.
Oh, for sure.
There are too many things that are more important in life now that we're not dealing with, that we're being pushed away from, that we're being directed in a different direction. I don't watch television anymore because I can't take TV. I read constantly. I get my – I know you people are going to yell at me, but I get my news from the web.
I do the same thing. How ironic.
Yeah.
You know, you're broadcasting on the web. This is an alternative network for media. So, you know, this is what people do. You got to realize, you know, we're from a different generation Jeffrey.
I know.
And this is the manner in which people typically communicate now. You know, people like you are turning away from the conventional methods of news because they realize, is this really what all there is?
I don't think the news stations tell us the truth. I went away from regular television, and I'll go on the web on people are going to say I'm crazy, but Facebook, and there's a woman scientist on Facebook who posts every day about Fukushima. And they take it off every time she posts. So she keeps reposting the same thing over and over. I'm learning more about Fukushima on the web and getting more information on the web than I do on television. It's hardly ever spoken about.
They don't want to.
They have to, because it's a life-extinguishing event. If it gets any worse, the whole West Coast will have to be evacuated 50 miles inward. Because the radiation is coming, it's not going away, and it's getting really bad.
Right.
And one-third of the Pacific Ocean has died.
Kind of an important aspect to our planet. Just a little.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of important.
They tell you not to eat the tuna fish anymore because all the tuna has been irradiated. And we're not focusing on the things we should be focusing on in this society.
I agree.
We have to completely change. And all you people out there, you're the one that has to do it.
Exactly.
You have to.
Dr. Seuss said, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Right?
I agree with that.
Thank you, Dr. Seuss.
Thank you so much, because you're hitting it right on the head. Same thing with mental illness, same thing with other diseases. It's 2014. Where is the cure for cancer that they told us about back in 1960?
Can I tell you, Jeffrey, that you read about Fukushima, being in the health field, I am bombarded with information every day about different cures for cancer. And I got to tell you that I believe that one truly does exist.
I think one does too, but please, if anyone knows out there what the real cure is, will you please post it somewhere
I'll share with you some information, some more networks. Jeffrey and I was trying to give him a Facebook lesson earlier, and he was amazed at all the things you could do. So I'll help you out, and I'll definitely share with you UCY.TV. It's a great network, a place where you can go and get valid information. And I'm just one little aspect of what we do. You know, the anti-media is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 o'clock, and they're live, just like you and I are. We're just one show. Last time I heard, there were over 30 shows on this network.
Wow.
Where you can learn on so many different topics. And like me, people are excited, and they're passionate, and they go out reaching out to people like you who have a specific knowledge or opinion on a certain topic, or we do valid research and we share the information. So I encourage you to listen to the other programs too.
I shall.
And I know that you told me earlier that you're working on a book.
Yeah, I'm working on a book on mental illness. It's going to be a self-help book, but it's more going to be a manual on treatment and a manual on what people go through when they first are diagnosed, and it's called Caught Me With My Pants Down is the working title, because exactly it's what it did. It's Caught Me With My Pants Down, so I thought that would be a cute little title.
It makes me laugh. It's funny. I like it. Even if you don't choose it, I support it.
Thank you. I think I shall keep it. It took me a long time to come up with it, but I want to describe and tell people that they're not a bad person. It's not their fault that it happened. There's nothing to worry about. You're going to be okay, and it may take a while, but you have to really accept your level of functioning that you're at the moment. That's the most important thing about beating depression or mental illness. To be in the moment, yeah.
I read something beautiful. I don't know who said it, but it said, this is what happens when you read so many words, you forget where they come from. You just store them in your brain. But he said, if you're anxious, you're living in the past. If you're depressed, it's because you're living in the future. Or no, I might have gotten that backwards. Maybe he says, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. And if you're anxious, you're living in the future.
That's like,
that makes a little more sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Sorry. Slightly dyslexic, apparently.
Like the past, present, and future went into a bar. They were all very tense.
I get on Kenji. We need a little drum cymbal. Where's my producer? Where's my producer? Don't have one yet. But anyways, yes. Being in the moment, that's so hard to practice.
That's because...
And I share, yeah, I mean...
You don't know what's happening, so you can't be in the moment, but you should be.
Yes.
You know, and you have to strive to get into the moment. It may take a while, but you'll get there.
Yes.
And when you're there, that's the most precious thing you can ever experience.
Moments.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but that's all we are, right? Is we're a collection of experiences, moments. And every,
that's how we learn.
Yeah, in every moment you have a conscious decision. What am I going to do with this? Right? Like, what are you going to take away from this talk?
Well, you know? But you also have to remember those moments when you make those conscious decisions. There are things that happen once you make those decisions.
Oh, of course. Consequences.
The
always.
Consequences,
but
that's the word.
Does it benefit you or does it hinder you? Either way, it makes you.
I think, yeah. And Studge Terkel used to say, hope dies last. And what that really means is when you want something to happen, you wish it would, and you take an action to make that thing happen, and if it happens, great. But if it doesn't, it will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you never give up hope about anything in your life. You hope dies last, and without hope, you die. So you always have to have hope that things are going to be okay.
I completely agree.
Okay. Thank you. That, you know, and Plato once said, be kind. Everyone you know is facing a hard battle. So everyone out there, be kind to people.
Because you don't know their struggle, right?
You don't know. Like,
you don't know.
Like you told me you had children, and I was like, whoa.
Whoa. Right? You had no idea.
I had no idea. And you can't judge people.
Because I look like I'm 12. People are always like, how old are you?
She looks so young. It's God, I wish I looked as young as her. You know? And
I get carded too much, though.
Oh,
it's horrible.
But you don't know people's struggles, or you don't know their situations, or you don't know their living conditions, or you don't know what they're going through daily. You know? And you always might think your problem is the worst, but there's someone out there, believe me, that wishes they had your problems and not theirs.
Yes.
The grass is always greener, but not necessarily.
Perspective. You know, that's been another one of my lessons lately is how do other people view the world? And I've been reaching out to my elders and asking them, you know, did you ever encounter this situation? How was this for you? Because they can offer their perspective and hopefully give insight, right? And I think that's part of the disconnection in our society is we don't live in tribes anymore. We don't live in communities. You know, the Egyptians knew when each other were, they knew when they were having sex. They knew when their baby was teething. They knew when they were getting reprimanded. They knew when they were arguing. They knew they were when they were making love or making dinner. These people lived in close quarters. You know what I mean? People all over the world have thrived in communities. And we're so different now. You know what I mean? And I think that disconnection from the community has disconnected not only from our elders, but from the self.
I think when I grew up, and I'm 59 now, so do the math. In 1954, I was the bouncing baby boy of Neil and Olin Greenstein, okay? And it was different growing up in those times. Everybody knew everyone. When we had a house, there wasn't another neighbor next to us for miles.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole neighborhood was put together. Everyone looked out for everybody else. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any type of, like, games.
You had to reach out.
Yes. If mom and dad said be home by 5, you had to be home by 5. We didn't have color television until one day the guy down the block got one and everyone was his best friend for the rest of his life because we got to watch color TV. over the years, things have changed. We've gotten distant from our kids. We manners have changed. Values have changed. Morals have changed. And we've become a much violent society, violenter society than it was when I grew up.
You know, I'll never forget as a young person, and this was part of my struggle with my quote-unquote mental illness, is because I saw another aspect to the world. When in high school, some great teachers brought to my attention not only the media, but history and the types of things that are perpetuated to us and the type of things that are instilled within us. And things like The Matrix, I saw that as a very young person. You know, I was very impressionable. I was a teenager when that movie came out. And I thought, ooh, this is what the world is. You know what I mean? I applied it to real life. And now more and more as I age and develop and hopefully learn and grow and evolve, I realize that essentially that's what it is. You got to unplug and reconnect. That's my main goal now, is to unplug from said matrix, also known as society.
Yeah, it's.
But to get back to what it should be.
God, I wish we could do that.
I'm trying, man.
It's very
Here we
hard.
Are right now, being two people having a discussion with who knows how many other people who aren't calling us, by the way. You guys can totally call in and join my discussion. The number's 1-718-717-8296. So if you want to join us, we're almost at the end of our hour here, but we'd love to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So call us if you would like. I dream of that. I do.
And I miss that.
I dream of it.
I miss it terribly.
I mean, what kind of food did you eat as a child?
Believe it or not, we didn't have milk. My mom would only let us drink powdered milk.
Okay.
Because she didn't believe the farmers, and she thought that the regular milk was radiated. So from all the atomic testing that was done.
Oh, wow.
So I, to this day, still have the taste of powdered milk in my mouth.
Interesting.
And when someone says powdered milk to me, I run. Like, I was at a friend's house, and they said, we have powdered milk. And I went, milk, that's really good. And I said, no, thank you.
I've never had powdered milk.
You don't want powdered milk. If anyone ever gives it to you, run. Run very quickly.
This reminds me of something I was talking about in my office today. Okay. Isn't it weird that we can buy – it's weird that it's normal to think that it's normal to buy cow's milk or goat's milk or some sort of animal's milk. But the notion of going to the store and buying breast milk or human milk is freaky deaky. Like, okay, do we realize that this is a life-sustaining, amazing, healing – like, seriously, if your baby has a rash or – a cut and you put breast milk on it, it will heal faster. It has healing properties. A mother passes on immunity via breast milk. Mm-hmm. Breast milk can sustain life for 6+ months. You know, it's the first source of nutrient that you get. It's very crucial to your life. I mean, not everybody has it because we have, you know, alternatives now, but it's superfood. Why can't I go to the store and buy me some superfood liquid? Why is that weird?
I don't think it's weird.
Why isn't it there? Why are we doing that? Does anybody want to – hey, ladies, you want to join my breast milk?
I think, you know, it's kind of revolting. I don't think – I mean, if I would open up a breast milk store, I don't know how long I would be in business.
But why? Why not? Why?
I think there's a stigma about that. It's like you don't talk about sex.
That reminds me. Next weekend is Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for the proper time to talk about sex. Valentine's Day, you guys. I've already organized a... Okay, she's French. Oui, first of all. She's like you. She's an elder of mine. She's an experienced, sexy sex therapist. And we are gonna open so many boxes and talk about so many stuff and so much stuff and so much things. So... please join in next week for that. That's going to be intriguing. No censorship.
No, I don't think there should be.
We're not going to have any. No. I'm all about breaking down barriers, Jeffrey. And I'm so glad that that man had the nerve to judge me yesterday and that it frustrated me to such an extent that I had to go rant to you about it. But we didn't even know that we were on the same sort of mission, right?
No, but, you know, Luis is a great guy.
He is.
He works hard.
He is. And I love you, Luis. I do.
He is. And
but I hope I offered him a perspective.
But I think he judged you because his living situation
is totally different.
Totally different.
I get it.
So he looks at you as a good-looking woman who, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, she was just beautiful yesterday. And I could understand Luis thinking she was rich because she looked that way. She was radiant, okay? And, you know, he's looking at her, and his living situation is so different than the United States of America's living situation.
I know.
Luis didn't mean to judge her. He was paying her a compliment. I really believe he was paying her a compliment. And
if that's the case, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Luis.
No, I think he was paying her a compliment. I really do. And I think he was so – he admired you so much for the way you were and the way you are that I really believe since – Luis comes around a lot, and I think he looked at you and said, you know, oh, my God, she's a really rich woman. And I don't know if it was just your dress or he had talked to you before or he had seen you before, but his living situation is so different than a lot of people.
Right. I mean, but can I tell you, Luis drives a better car than me.
He probably drives a better car than me, too.
Luis had nicer shoes than me. You know what I mean? It's like perspective, though. Perspective. Yeah. That's all I hope to give people. Plant seeds in their mind and make them go, what? Because when you're uncomfortable, that's when you're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, that's when you think. And when you think, that's hopefully when you realize. And when you realize, hopefully things become solidified.
And sometimes when you speak the wrong way, and words are very powerful.
Oh, definitely.
You can't jam them back in your
mouth. Oh, no. But it's okay. It's an experience, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that experience happened, because here we are talking about some great topics. You know, I definitely think we've got to reform the way that we not only judge people who are different.
No bullying at all.
Right.
We have to stop bullying.
You got to share love.
Yeah.
You got to share love. But you can't share it unless you feel it. So you got to love yourself.
Yeah, but just go out and say hello to everyone. Go out and say hey to everyone and see what happens.
Maybe turn off the TV.
Definitely go away from
the TV. Turn off the TV.
Get a good book.
What are some good books you could recommend to people? I mean, you work in the bookstore. What's some of your favorite books of all time?
Some of my favorite books of all time is Confederacy of Dunces by Toole. Night of the Avenging Blowfish by Welter. Henry's Lists of Wrong. I love that book. I have so many, but those are the top three that I really think people should look at.
Okay.
As I get older, I've gone away from traditional, and I'm now picking up on, it's not self-help, but it's...
Do you know Eckhart Tolle?
Yes.
He is amazing. His words are so... I'm reading A New Earth right now.
A New Earth.
I actually bought it from your bookstore. I went in there a few months ago, and I was like, I need something to read, universe, and it practically fell off the shelf.
Then it was meant to
be. It was meant to be. So, yeah, Eckhart Tolle is one of my favorite self-help writers.
Coelho?
I don't know that one.
He wrote, I'm trying to think... Virginia Decides to Die. Veronica Decides to Die.
Mm.
The Alchemist.
Alchemist. I'm reading that one, too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's who wrote it.
Yeah, I love him. I have all of his
books. I bought
books.
That book, too. Yeah, it's a good book.
I read a lot of fiction, but a lot of historical fiction. One of my favorites, that if someone likes the Civil War, is Guns of the South by Turtle Dove.
Okay.
That's a really great read. Any Civil War book, that I can think of by, God, anything on Lincoln. Anything on Lincoln. It's by Donald. I'm trying to think of Doris Goodwin, whatever. I like a lot of Lincoln books. I just changed from the regular stuff to not self-help, but I'm looking for more invigorating, inspiring things. I want to be inspired. I also want to be the one who inspires other people to do something.
Right.
You know, to say, oh, yeah.
Exactly. And I'll share with you guys my experience next, you know, despite that I'm going to try and dedicate most of the hour to sexy time talk. I will share with you my experience of my canvassing. I'm going to do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to literally from 2 p.m. to about 10 p.m. walk around my city, knocking on doors if I need to, with, you know, with respect, but sharing with people the information in regards to GMOs. I'm going to do so in a neutral manner, but I'm going to try and raise awareness. And I can't wait to share with you guys what occurs. I mean, you can't expect anything to happen if you don't do it. I need to do it. I need to make it better.
There are people like you who I admire. I'm 59 now. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s and Vietnam, and we went through a
different
lot.
Time.
But it's a different time. But I admire you of all that you do. Seriously, it's interesting that more people aren't out there yelling and screaming and doing more.
I want to hear, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I love that.
That is one of my favorite moments ever. This is LaVon, who doesn't watch TV, doesn't watch movies, but I'm mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it anymore. And I want you to say, what does he say? I want you to go outside. And I want you to scream it at the top of your lungs until you rattle the windows.
Everyone should go to the windows right now.
Anytime that I feel not as awesome, I watch that. In fact, I will share that link with you guys. I will post that. You guys will watch it and you will go, maybe we'll hear some roaring. Some thunder. Who knows? But
we know times are bad. They don't have to tell us the time.
Right. Right?
Yeah. I agree. We need more people like that.
It's happening, though.
My generation is getting tired. They don't want to really do anything anymore.
But we need your generation to hang out with my generation. Give us some ideas and...
I can do that. Let's start an
old people / young people club.
We can do that.
We should. We should have a gathering of the minds.
We need that today.
We should.
We're in a bad situation. Nothing is getting better.
I mean, what else do we have but our ideas and our words and our passions,
and maybe
right?
That will be illegal very shortly, so we have to...
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, we're trying to protect the Internet. You know, they're using the scapegoat of intellectual property to kind of take control of this, you know.
We don't need more government.
We need less government. One of my favorite comedians talks about how he doesn't trust the government. George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
George Carlin, amazing, amazing. If you don't know who George Carlin is, please look him up, too.
he's a very, very, he was a very pronounced person who was extremely, extremely smart,
yes.
And intellectual, and he was before his time.
He was. So we've got to look to our past and look to our future, but be in the moment, right?
Yes.
Thank you for being with me, Jeffrey.
Thank you for having me.
I adore you. He'll be on again some other time, you guys. Have a beautiful week. And check out Nick and DB on Monday. Thank you. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.